Okay. Well, I handed out a handful of scriptures there, and I hope y'all folks have a Bible to read from. And when I call your scripture, try to read loudly so everybody can hear you. We're going to get a little participation there. Pastor Tim did that a couple weeks ago. I thought that was a real good way to have everybody participate. I had 1 week that I'm filling in here for Pastor Tim, and so I really like that because then I can kind of pray and seek the Lord and ask him what kind of topic should I cover. We keep serving the Lord, and we keep walking, and we keep trudging, and we keep fighting this war, and we keep fighting the battle. And, you know, we come to church, and, you know, us pastors are trying to tenaciously preach the word and trying to make sure that we're hitting all of these areas of doctrine and helping the church to grow in a balance and not lean too heavy on one side and miss the other. A lot of times we tend to kind of miss over some very basic things about Christianity. And so I thought that it would be a really good encouragement for you for us to look at Romans 8:28 and just take that one little verse of scripture apart and just for you to see how deep and wide the word of God is in just one short little place. And I trust that you can do this with just about any verse in the scripture, but this happens to be one of all of our favorites because it's such a great promise. So I've entitled this little teaching here, All Things for Good. That also is the title of my favorite little book, of course, other than the Bible. It's a little book written by Thomas Watson. It's called All Things for Good. It's one of those little Puritan paperbacks. And it's a treatise on Romans 8:28 through 30. It's just been a treasure for me. But through that, the Lord really showed me a lot of things about this passage of scripture and many years ago, and it's just always just been such a support to me in my faith. So I want to share it with you. So if you will, open your Bible to Romans 8:28, and we're going to look at that one little verse of scripture and kind of take that apart. Now look at some other scriptures that might support the concepts and ideas that are being presented there and see what God has to say to us. And so there it reads, and if you have a New American Standard, it reads like this. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so here the scripture starts in this little passage. And if you will, it's kind of a turning point there in Romans 8. Paul has been discussing the sufferings of Christian life, the sufferings even of the whole creation, he says. And in verses 19 through 22, he's talking about the groaning of the whole creation, eagerly awaiting our adoption and being adopted into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And he talks there about how the Spirit is helping us in our weakness. And if you will, he kind of is reaching this really high place in the book of Romans. It's just going up and up and up and up and up. And this is almost the pinnacle there. I would say verses 28 through the end of the chapter is the high place in the book of Romans. So here is where he kind of shifts and he just begins to open up and talk about the whole purpose of God and salvation. And in that turning point, he begins and he says this. He says, and we know. And we know, he says. This, in fact, is something we are assured of. We know it. It is the promise of God. It shall not fail. For it flows from the mouth of the Almighty God, who cannot lie, and whose power and knowledge are beyond comprehension. Again and again, the Scripture reassures us of things we have certainty of. And here the scripture, he's got these two short little words. He says, we know. He's saying, this we're certain of. We know this. He's basically saying, I don't even need to cover the certainty of it any more than just to simply say, we know. This is something we know. What is it that we know, Paul? We know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know this. This is a sure promise from God, like many others. And does somebody there have 1 John 3:14? Somebody have that one? I might not have handed that one out. No? I got it here. Okay, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life. John there writing, and he says, we know. This is something we know. We've passed from death into life. How do we know that? He's quoting Jesus, John 5:24. Amen. We know this according to the Lord's own word. Amen. And in another place, do you want to read this one back there? 2 Corinthians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Paul says we have something certain there. Amen. So we know we've passed from death unto life. That we are sure of. What else are we sure of? Well, when we die, we have a house, a building from God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. We have a body, a replacement for this old body of sin. One that is not made with hands, but made by God. Amen? This we are assured of. We know these things. This is what Paul is saying about this little promise here in Romans. He says we know it. We are sure. We are certain of this truth because it is according to his purpose, he says. And none can thwart God's purposes and his plans. This is not a wavering matter. The apostle did not say, we think or we hope, but rather, we know. He said, we know. This, according to Paul, we can count on. God works all things for good for his saints. Amen? And you can be assured of it. And God wants you to be assured of it. And you know that especially when he says, this we know. Amen? He says you can bank on this. This is something you can trust in. This is something that is sure. It's real. What is it? God is working for our good. Amen? This we know, Paul says. Well, look what he says that we know about. Interesting little phrase here. He says, God causes all things to work together. God causes all things to work together. And I have a little subtitle for this. The Providence of God. La Divina Providencia. The Divine Providence. Amen? Consider with me the weight of this statement. God causes all things to work together. God causes all things to work together. Consider the weight of that statement. That is profound. That statement is massive. It could not be more all-encompassing than it is. Because it includes what? All things. That is a grand statement. That is a glorious statement. Think of what this statement says about God. That he can work all things together. Amen? And so we look at God and we marvel. And we do indeed affirm God is providential in his control of all things. He is the sovereign Lord. Amen? He is the supreme authority. He has such power and authority that He can work all things together. That's amazing. That's immense. Here we see the great hand of God working in the midst of all things to make them work together for a purpose, for His purpose. Make no mistake, God is bringing all things of all times and all ages, all men and all women, all angels and demons, all nations and peoples, every planet and star, and whatever can be named, God is bringing it to an expected end. He is working them together. You see that? Profound statement here in this little verse of Scripture. God is causing all things to work together. Consider with me for a moment a few verses of Scripture in other places that might say something very similar to this. Does somebody out there have Hebrews 1, 1 through 3? Okay, Terry?
God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. Through Him also He made the world. He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Amen. So consider what the writer to the Hebrews says here in chapter 1. He says that in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. That is, Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh, right? And look what He does. Look what it is that Jesus, the Son, does. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Is that profound? Do you see in this verse in Hebrews how the same thing is being communicated? That He is working all things together. He, in this case, though, is upholding all things by His power. He's supporting all things. He's sustaining all things. Amen? These are profound statements about God. That He literally is upholding all things by the word of His power. Somebody has Colossians 1:15 and following. Okay, again, another very familiar place, this time in the writing of Paul, surely, the book of Colossians. And there in verse 17, the same concept is communicated again. He says in verse 17, "And He, that is Christ, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Again, He's upholding all things by the word of His power. In Him all things hold together. He is, by His providence, holding all things together, upholding all things in the universe. Now, how many things is all things?
All
things. Everything. Amen? This encompasses everything that can be named. That's what it means when He says all things. And, of course, He clarifies that in Colossians by saying both all things that were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him. And he explains the scope of His statement. Things to be natural things and supernatural things. Everything that God created, both natural and supernatural. Amen? These, the Scripture says, that Christ upholds and holds together. Somebody has Job 34. Job 34. Somebody have that one? No? Okay, I've got it. Job 34:14. "If He should determine so, if He should gather to Himself His spirit and His breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to the dust." Here is a statement about the very similar thing. God holding all of mankind together, literally holding their body together with his spirit. And the scripture says, if he were to withdraw his spirit, all mankind would return to the dust. That it's by the Spirit of God that man has his life. And this is why we say that God has power over life and death. That he has numbered the days of man. I believe it's Job 14:5 says, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. God has decreed the number of your days. And he holds your life in his hand by his spirit. Amen? He's working all things together, including you. Amen? Amazing statements about God. Somebody has Acts 17:24 through 28. Okay, so here is another statement about the providence of God. Here in the creation of mankind, and in the fact that God has is giving to all men life and breath and all things, the scripture says. Whatsoever things you have, the scripture says right here, have been given to you by God, including your life and your breath. It goes on to say, that he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. And listen to this, that God determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. If you read that in the NIV, it says God determined the exact places where they should live, which is the meaning of those words. He set the boundaries of their habitation. He was providentially involved in the confounding of the languages at Babel and the sending out of the tribes and the nations of the earth. He, in fact, determined the exact places where they should live. He goes on that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, the scripture says. You see the idea? You see the same concept being presented in Scripture again? God is working all things together. In him we live. In him we move. In him we exist. Amen? This, family, we call the providence of God. I appreciated so much what Pastor Tim was saying this last Sunday about having good theology. And I want to tell you what's missing in the church. God! God is missing in the church. We don't have right theology because we haven't studied God. That's what theology is, the study of God. We haven't looked into the Bible to see what the Bible says about the greatest being of all, the one who is greater than all creation. The one for whom everything exists. The one who created everything. The pinnacle, the focus of everything that's in the world is God. If we should know anything, we should know who God is. Amen? Something like the providence of God should be the very fundamental ideas and concepts of our faith. But many times a modern Christian hears things like this, and they don't know what to do. They can't understand a world where God is in control. Because they look at the world and they see it full of problems. And they say, how can this be? If God is perfect, if he's loving, if he's all powerful, if he's omniscient, how could the world be like this? because this is the way he made it. And if you understand the providence of God, you know that God is working all things together. And he's bringing it all to an expected end. This is the way he made it, for a reason, for a purpose, which he will bring to pass, and no one will thwart. Amen? And that, you know, if you know the omnipotence of God. Amen? And you know that God knew the whole thing before he ever created it. Why? Because he's omniscient, right? And that he is indeed holding all things together by the word of his power. Why? Because he's omnipresent. And we just look into the scripture and we learn these truths about God. Amen? This is theology. This is what's missing. But here in Romans 8:28, family, the providence of God. Somebody also has Ephesians 1:11.
In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will.
Okay. Listen to the majesty of this short verse of Scripture. That God has predestined everything according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his own will, or in conformity with the purpose of his own will. Again, the scripture clearly stating that God is working all things in conformity with his will. Let me translate that for you. Let me paraphrase it another way for you to consider it. That whatsoever happens, happens by the will of God. This we call in theology God's sovereign will. Okay? Which is to be distinguished from his moral will or his commanded will. Because not everything that God allows and causes and works in to come to pass is God's moral will. Okay, in other words, it's not what he may necessarily deem morally perfect, but it is what he is using to bring about his ultimate purpose. Okay? Many times God uses what he hates to bring to pass what he loves. This is what happened, family, when God ordained sin in the creation. When God looked into the creation, saw that it would fall, and planned the death of his son in eternity past. And he saw all the suffering that came from sin. Okay? He ordained that he had a higher purpose to accomplish through it all. And so through this creation, he's bringing that purpose to pass. And here's what's being stated in Romans 8:28. He's working all things together for the good. For who? For those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. You see, he's got a purpose. And it's for your good. Amen? That is if you love him. Amen? These are profound realities. Profound realities right here in this little tiny verse of scripture. Look closely with me at what the apostle says. God causes all things to work together. Think about that phrase. God causes, he says. God is the primary cause behind everything that happens. And he uses the means of secondary causes to accomplish his sovereign will. Let me give you an example. Grass grows, right? What makes grass grow? God does. Good, class. Exactly. Okay? That's the primary cause of grass growing. What's the secondary means? Sunlight, water, soil, right? Probably some other things we don't even know about, right? So, what causes grass to grow? Sunlight, water, soil, right? Well, yeah, when you look at the grass and you study the grass and you look what's going on, you figure out that God is using some things to make that grass grow. But we all know, friends, that God is the primary cause behind grass growing. Amen? How do we know that? Because the Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. Amen? You see how elementary that is? Trust me, you can apply that anywhere in the creation. And you can see how God is the primary cause in everything that's happening. Why? Because he's providential in his control. And he's working all things together. Not some things, not most things, all things. That's what the scripture says over and over, as we have just seen. Amen? And so it kind of creates a conundrum in our mind, because we just can't get our mind around that. It's just too huge. It's too massive. And we start asking all these little specific questions. Well, what about that? And what about this? And what about that? Okay? Well, let me suggest. Take the clear teaching of Scripture, which talks about God being providential in all things, and let that be the infrastructure that you use to begin to understand the answer to all those little questions that you're asking. But don't doubt for a minute that God is providentially in control of all things, because that's what the Scripture clearly teaches. You with me? So when you come to one of those little conundrums that you can't figure out, don't shake your fist at God and say, God, how can you do that? Okay? Bow the knee to the authority of Scripture and pray for understanding in humility. Humble yourself before the Lord's mighty hand, and he'll lift you up. Right? Seek him with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Amen? Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and you will find. Amen? For from the mouth of the Lord comes knowledge and wisdom, says in Proverbs 2. Amen? God causes, he says, all things. All things. This providence is happening with all things. That's what the Bible says. Not some things, not most things, but all things. Amen? And then look at this interesting little phrase. To work together. To work together. God causes all things to work together. He's used them all, whatsoever things there may be. Right? Whatever things were created, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or powers, whether mountains or hills or valleys or trees or people or sky or clouds or fish or tsunamis or whatever they may be, God is causing them to work together. Amen? He's providential. He's in control. He's on the throne. Amen? That's what the Bible says. They work together. He, God, is working them together so that they cooperate to bring to pass his expected end. You see, he's got a plan. He made a plan long before he ever formed it. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that. It says, see, I planned it from ages past, and I will surely bring it to pass, he says, Isaiah 46:11. Right? God has a plan. We all know that. Amen? I mean, we're preaching the gospel to people. That's what we tell them. God's got a plan, man. He's got a plan for you. Right? Isn't that what we tell them? Listen, God's omniscient. If he has a plan now, he had a plan 100 trillion years ago. Because his knowledge was complete way back then. You with me? So way back then, in the counsels of the mind of the Almighty, he's considering how he wants to make his creation. And how he's going to work all things together. So that when he brings it to pass, it's exactly what he does. He works all things together. Amen? It's a beautiful thought. It's a profound thought about God. I mean, this thought causes me to rest. Because, you know, I'm in the boat and the waves are tossing and churning. And I want to wake up the master. Master, we're perishing. Are you like that sometimes? And where's Jesus? He's sawing logs. He's snoring. Why? Because he's upholding all things by the word of his power. That's why. Amen? And you see, when your trust is in Christ, though there's wind and there's waves, he says, look, come. Come to me. Come to me on the water. Amen? Step into the angry tide and walk on the water, he says. Amen? Glorious. Glorious truths about God. Listen, God arranges the circumstances of history according to his purpose and plan. You ever heard that? Well, you've heard it now. God arranges the circumstances of history according to his purpose and plan. That's what providence means. Okay? God is very diligently governing this creation he has made. It is all coming to pass exactly like he planned it. He will be sure to see that it does. The rain falls on the good and bad. Both peace and calamity come from God. Every authority which is on the earth has been established by God. All the events of human history had the divine approval before one of them ever came to pass. God rules on the throne in heaven. Amen? Friends, that's sound theology right out of the Bible. I could give you 100 scriptures to support that last little paragraph. If not 500. Okay? But I'll give you one. How's that? Somebody has 1 Chronicles 29:11.
I have
not. Okay. It's my favorite scripture in the Bible.
Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name.
Amen. Boy, that's a mouthful about God, isn't it? Think of the theology that flows from that one little passage of scripture there. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all. In thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Are you weak, saint? You need a little strength? Guess who's got the strength? God. And he's the same one who said, ask and you shall receive. O ye of little faith. Amen. And underneath are the everlasting arms. So, God causes all things to work together. Amen?
Yes.
How about this one? All things to work together for the good to those who love God. Okay? All things to work together for good to those who love God. Now think about what's being communicated. Remember the first thing? Don't forget that one. We know. This is certain. Amen? You remember the second one? God causes all things to work together. You got that? We are certain that God is sovereign and providential to do what? To work them for your good if you love God. Amen? You want some encouragement? Here it is. You want a rock to stand on? Here it is. God is working everything for your good if you love him. We didn't just say nice things. We didn't just say pleasant things or good things or pretty things, did we? We're reading the Word of God here. It says all things. You with me? God's working every one of them for your good. You know why? Because you are the object of His special providence. He has picked you out by name and said, that is the one I will set my love on, and it shall never depart. World without end. That's profound. Amen? We're getting there. All things to work together for good to those who love God. Question. Do you love God? Do you love God? Is He your treasure? And are your affections set on Him? Well, dear friend, if the answer is yes, then here is a promise for you. Here is a promise where we can find hope and assurance and comfort and faith and strength to endure the race. God is working for our good. That's what the Bible says. God. God. Almighty God. King of heaven. Is working for our good. Amen? Blessed God. What a promise. This God of providence, the Almighty, is working all things together for our benefit, for our well-being, for our joy, for our eternal hope and blessing. That is amazing. This is to say that no matter what happens, if we love God and are the called, whether good things or bad things, whether joys or sorrows, pleasures or pains, mercies or judgments, God is working them for our ultimate good and well-being. Amen? Every one of those waves in your life has got designs of special providence for your good. And it came straight from the wave maker, who is the primary cause of everything that happens. And the Bible says He's working it for your good. Amen? That's profound. That's absolutely profound. Consider with me some of the things that work for our good. Let's think about that for a minute. God's working together for our good. All things. He's working the things for our good. Right? What are they? Well, that's the stuff we laugh about, cry about, complain about, are thankful for. All that stuff. Those things. You know the things? Those are the ones He's using to work for our good. How about this? The worst things. The worst things. The bad things. The dark things. The tough things. The painful things. God uses the worst things of life for our benefit. That's what the Bible says. Right here in this little verse of Scripture. The worst things drive us to God where we have everything we need. Our sorrows work for our good, driving us to God to find comfort and rest in God alone, the Comforter, the Savior who said, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden and weary, He said, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, He said, you'll find rest for your souls. Because my burden is light. And my yoke is easy. Amen? Our sorrows drive us to find rest in God. How about our pains? Our pains work. They work. They work for our good. Those pains are working for your good, causing us to look to God to find healing and to find strength and to find endurance. And when we look to God, our need is met. And He's glorified. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Call on me in the day of trouble. Seek me, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. Amen. What a design of providence. Amen. Glorious. Our pains are working. They're working. How about this? God's judgments and disciplines are working. They're working for our good. That's what the Bible says. To bring about a harvest of righteousness and peace in our lives. Amen? We were just reading that Sunday night in Hebrews 12. God's judgments and His disciplines cleanse us from our sins. They wash us and make us clean. They teach us wisdom. They're working. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glorious truth. Listen, God uses the worst things to work together for our good. Amazing. Profound. When trial or trouble comes my way, it is God who holds me in the palm of His hand. More than this, we have the promise of eternal life with God in that place where there is no more crying or dying or pain. And God our Father is even working everything for our own good. At all times, our best interest is in His mind. God never fails to think about your good. And every single thing that works, every single thing in your life works for your good. Because God is causing it to work together for your good. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Glorious, beautiful thing. He will care for us. He will shepherd us. He will protect us and love us until we reach our home. Your life is in the hands of God, the Almighty God. And He's going to get you there, dear friend. Don't you worry. Don't you be afraid to trust in God. He's going to get you there. And just like He brought you to this very day and met every need you ever had, He's going to meet every need you ever will have, and He's going to get you to your home. And you're going to lie down and rest in that place, world without end. That's His promise. Amen? Trust in the Lord, the Bible says. He's worthy of your trust. Amen? How about this? God uses the best things. The best things. The best things are working. They're working. God uses the best things of our life for our benefit. Right? This one's easy to swallow. As a matter of fact, we'd rather chew on this one for a while before we swallow it. Right? Oh, the goodness of God in all of the good things. Right? The painful things, those hurt, man. Give me the path of least resistance. Right? But God knows what we need. That's why we have the worst things. Right? But how about the best things? He fills us with His blessed Holy Spirit. How about that? Right? Silver and gold have I none. Right? What I do have is something far more valuable. Amen? How about this? Love. Joy. Peace. I've got patience. I've got kindness. Gentleness. I've got compassion. I've got a broken heart for hurting people. You know why? Because the blessed Holy Spirit of God lives inside me. That's why. I've got it. It's working. It's working for my good. It's making me like Jesus. And when I get to be like that, I'm going to be one blessed soul. Amen? You see, God is using the best things for our good. The best things. What are they? God. He's the best thing. And He lives inside you. That's what the Bible says. He gives you His Spirit. His Spirit lives in you. It changes you. It transforms you. The Spirit of God is powerful to change you. Stop wrestling with Him. Surrender. Let Him make you like Christ. Let Him fill you with that joy and that kindness and that love and that peace and that patience. Man, just let that stuff just overflow out of the cup. Amen? From my inmost being shall come rivers of living water, said Jesus. He who believes in me, John 7:37, from his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. You know what that is? It's joy, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness. That's living water. That's the kind of water that wells up out of the heart that loves God. Amen? Glorious thing God is using. It's working. How about this? He gives us the treasures of His Word. Perplexed about something, saint? Open up the book. It's in there. Amen? Whatever plagued the soul of man, which God didn't answer in a spoken word. What's the problem? Dying on your way to hell? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Right? Body aching? Jehovah Jireh, is it? The Lord our healer? I probably got that one wrong. I don't know. Rapha, there we are. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Jehovah Rapha, God's our healer. And even though the body they may kill, God's truth abides still. Kill me and I go to glory. Amen? It's in the book. Right? You poor, got no money, need some food. Right? Why do you worry about all these things? Jesus says, your Father cares for the sparrows. You're worth much more than the sparrows. Trust in the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, they'll be added to you. It's in the book. Amen? Got a problem? It's in the book. Think about what God is using to work together for your good. It's all in the book. Every bit of it. Your kids need wisdom. You need to steer your kids right so they don't get hurt out there in that world. Give them the book. Teach them the book. Teach them how to walk on the path of righteousness. And they won't step into the trap of sin. Amen? Not to say they're not sinners and not going to struggle. Of course they are. Even that is the design of God's special providence. But listen, if God picked you out and chose you out, there's a real good chance He picked and chose your kids because He put them in your family. Amen? So do everything you can to get that love and that kindness and that joy and that peace and that wisdom inside those kids so that when they grow up, they have everything they need. Right? Amen? God help us with that one. That's a real challenge. How about this? His angels camp round about to keep us secure. There's things God's working for our good. Most of the time, we don't even know it. Amen? But I read it in the book. It says the angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear Him. Amen? That's what it says. They're there. That's probably why you're here today. Amen? Glorious truth. How about this? Every day we receive the mercies of God out of the abundance of His grace. You don't deserve another breath. First time you sinned against God, you deserved eternal hell, separation from God forever. Because He's so holy and perfect and clean and righteous and pure. That sin was a profane, wicked, evil thing in His sight. He's so pure, it can't exist in His presence. Something must happen with it. And so we have the blood of Christ. We have the cleansing flood, which has swept over and swept away all my sins, and now I live eternally in the mercies of God. Amen. I live in the abundant grace of God. Every day I receive His mercies. His mercies are new every morning, the Scripture says. Amen. We have everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. 2 Peter 1, 3. Right? God is an all-sufficient resource. That's what the Bible says. You have everything you need for life. God promised it. It's yours. In Christ. Reach out and take hold of it. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
God's an all-sufficient resource. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. How about that? I don't know about you. I like it when I go to work. I work hard all day. I come home. I'm tired. I have a lovely wife. I walk in the door. We kiss. We hug. We do that rather frequently. Right? And my beautiful little daughters come in there and I just love them to death and they hug me. And my soul is just so enriched, filled up to the overflowing. And I sit down in my chair and I rest for a few moments and I consider how blessed I am of God, that I can work and I can come home and I can rest. And life is just good, you know? There's just something good about having peace with God in your heart and being thankful for everything He's given you. Amen?
Yeah.
And you know, we just take that cup of salvation, we just drink it into the full, right down to the bottom of the glass. Every swallow, we're praising God, thanking Him for His goodness. Amen? God gives us richly all things to enjoy, and you know what? They're working. They're working for your good. They're teaching you how to be thankful to God, how to glorify His holy name for all that He's done. Amen? I think sometimes we don't even realize how profound all that goodness is really working in us and changing us. Isn't it strange the way thankfulness just wells up out of your heart? Isn't that an amazing thing? You ever consider that? Sometimes I'm just so thankful. I just don't have an outlet for it. You like that? I'm like that. I don't know. I thought it was the Holy Spirit. Thought it was regeneration. I'm sure it is. I see another regenerate soul out there saying yes. Consider further what things God has done to secure our eternal well-being and the surety of His purpose for our good. Okay? Listen, God's working all things together for our good. All that stuff we just talked about, those things, right? Let me give you a couple of really profound things that God has done working together for your good. Here they are. Ready? It is by grace that you have this promise. It is by grace. We have all these benefits by God's unmerited favor. We didn't earn it. Indeed, we couldn't earn it. It was God's gracious love that motivated Him to save a people for Himself, not according to anything we have done, but for His own purpose. You know what that means? That means when we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. We were in the cell. We were in the pit. We were deserving wrath. Okay? And God designed to love us and to save us and to work everything for our good. We didn't earn it. It was unmerited. He gave it to us freely as a gift. 2 Timothy 1:9. God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Amen. It's by God's own purpose and grace that he's working all things for your good. Amen. How about this? This promise that God is working all things for your good was secured by Christ. It will not fail. You can't lose this promise. This promise is so sure because it's founded in Christ's merit to the Father. Amen? This favor of God which we now possess is in Christ and because of Christ. Jesus paid it all. He purchased us with his atoning sacrifice on the cross and satisfied the requirements of God's righteousness on our behalf. It is finished. It is bought and paid for. It's a done deal. We've been justified once and for all. That's what the scripture says. It's done. It's sure. It's bought. It's paid for. Couldn't pay a higher price. It's covered. Debt paid. Righteousness imputed. Holy and blameless in the sight of God forever. That's what Hebrews 10:14 says. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's what the scripture says. Romans 3:21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. You know what the Bible says? We've been justified because of Christ. He did it right the first time. Amen? God doesn't need anything more. Paid in full. Amen? How about this? It is eternal. This promise of God working everything for your good is eternal. God is eternally pleased on our behalf in Christ. We shall never die. We have passed from death into life, John 5:24. None can snatch us from his hand, John 10:28. And nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that what the Bible says? Let me read it to you. I'm sorry. I'm stealing all your scriptures. Somebody has Romans 8:37. Amen. So, I want to ask you this question. If Paul rambles off all those things and he says none of those things will separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord, what will? Nothing. Nothing. Even what? Life or death? The promise of God working together for your good lasts forever. And it's already begun, family. They ain't never going to die. It's going to go on eternally. It's yours in Christ. He secured it. It's sure. We know God works all things together for our good. Amen. It is abundantly clear from these things that we have a sure hope and a certainty of ultimate good, which shall shortly be our possession forever. When all of the mighty working of providence is complete, we shall lie down and rest in the eternal kingdom of God, and none shall ever harm again for the coming ages of all eternity. We shall be perfectly fulfilled, joyously happy, and completely satisfied and overflowing with the marvelous blessing of God, world without end. That's what Romans 8:28 says. If you look a little deeper, it's saying marvelous, profound things to you. Amen? I would invite you to take that verse of Scripture in and chew on it and savor it and look deeper and cry out for insight and wait to hear from the Lord what it's saying to you. Well, I've got more to say, but we're out of time. Because it says there, to those who are called and according to His purpose, but I think you get the gist of it. So I'm going to end with this. He has a divine plan that He's going to bring to pass. The Scripture says that He will surely do it. Somebody has Isaiah 46:9. Isaiah 46:9 through 11.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who exceeds my counsel from the far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have possessed it. I will also do it.
Amen. The Lord says He has planned it, and He will surely do it. And yes, indeed, He will. He has a plan for our well-being, a plan for our good. God is working for our good, saints, and we can have a sure hope which is unchanging, immovable, and will come to pass in due time. Amen? Jeremiah 29:11. Somebody got that one? Amen. The Lord has a plan for our good, for our well-being, for our welfare. And He's pleased to do it. That's what He said. Somebody has Luke 12. He's pleased to do it. Did you know that? It's God's good pleasure to bless you with eternal life. You know, sometimes you feel guilty because God's been so good to you. Maybe you don't. I do sometimes. And I remember that I don't have to feel guilty because Jesus bore all of my sins in His body on the tree, and He paid for them. My guilt has been removed. And furthermore, God is pleased to grant me His kingdom. It's His good pleasure. He's happy to do it. You know, the world beats us up and puts such a heavy load on our back, sometimes we can't even freely receive. But God has given us His kingdom freely, and He merited it for us. And He's pleased to give it to us. That's what He said. In Romans 8:28, He uses all things to bring it to pass. And we know, the apostle says, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Amen? Well, I hope that's an encouragement to you. I want to tell you not to be afraid to trust in God. He is there, and He is your Father, and you need to take your need to Him and cast it at His feet and lay hold of Him, and He will be there to meet your need and see you through, no matter what the struggle, no matter what the trial. Amen? That's what the Scripture says, family. Amen? And the very last thing, be thankful for every circumstance. And remember that God's even using the worst things for your good. They're working. They are. God said they are. You can even look back on the worst things and see how they worked it. Amen? We don't always have understanding. Okay? But that's all right. Remember the proverb, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and what? But in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. You may not understand, but you cry out to God, He's going to take care of you. Amen? He's faithful. Shall we pray? God, our Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your rich word. God, I pray that You open our eyes as we read Your word. Cause us to see all of the glory of Your being in Your word. Grant us revelation and insight, God, into all that You're doing in our lives. We thank You for Your love to us, Your kindness. We praise You, God, with everything that is in You, with it that is in us. Bless Your holy name. We do praise You and honor You and glorify You and lift You up and thank You, God. We do just want to offer our lives to You, God, and sacrifice for all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.